It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Everybody, you are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than being banned for life by your favorite baseball team. Unless you're a Mets fan, then it's not so bad.
Could help.
You could join our chat room, the Den Pen, by going to davinsden.com. And, well, I don't think we have anybody manning it right now, but Joe will be here later on to man it. Let's see. I'm your host, Davin Rosebud. I'm joined in studio by Walt Papalo.
Yo, what's going on?
Hello, Walt.
How you doing?
We got the recovering Pip Helix in the home version of this game, and Joe is on his way. On the show, we'll do some School of Fools as a teacher is forced to pay for her substitute teacher while she battles cancer. That's crazy.
I read it.
Teachers and a principal are suspended for taking a picture with a noose.
Ugh.
Always a good idea. A man is fired from his government job after making racially insensitive comments against Muslims. Hey, you can relate to that.
Yeah.
A man is banned by the Chicago Cubs for a white supremacist gesture.
Here we go.
And a man gets arrested for, not arrested, a man got a couple tickets for his bumper sticker and Savage Medicine. But I don't know how long we have, Pip, so we'll start with our recovering from the heart transplant. They put a baboon heart in you, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So now you have like a nice red ass, right?
I always had a nice red ass.
And now you're going to climb on the hood of my car and shit on it, just like Six Flags.
I did that before when I left the show the other night.
Yes, but now it's acceptable.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Now we have to pay to see it.
Yeah, I got to pay the $30 in parking for Pip to shit on the hood of my car. So what's going on there, baboon ass? How you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good. I mean, all things considered, I'm pretty beat up. It feels like somebody punched me in the boob repeatedly.
I'm sorry, but it's fun.
Pay top dollar in the city for something like that.
Yeah, you do pay top dollar in the city. Good thing about Pip is she's a trooper. She gave me a discount. I had a Groupon. There was a bunch of us, so.
Did Pip really get a baboon hunt? No.
No, stupid. They haven't done that shit since the 80s.
I don't even know.
She had a pacemaker.
A pacemaker?
Yes.
Couldn't stay on your own pace, could you?
Actually, it's a defibrillator.
A defibrillator. Well, I want to call you, because I call your brother Gimp Helix, and you used to be Pip Helix. I feel like you should be Tick Tick Helix.
Well, pretty much.
Now, what does the defibrillator do? What does that do? They implant that inside you and that starts your heart?
You know what? What's really surprising is that normally when people get these done, they put it right under your skin, and it's usually on your chest. But I have a newer version, and it's actually underneath my arm right next to my left boob.
Oh, so it's not going to affect Mr. Helix when he wants the motorboat.
Very, very sexy.
No. No.
So this
you
was
won't
a,
even know it's there.
This was a win for Mr. Helix.
Yes. Actually, I think that he begged.
He begged?
He begged for it. You should get one on the other side.
Matching set. But I don't think she has two hearts. So
just hook it around both of them to one.
All right. She's not a fucking transformer.
I think it's sexy because if Mr. Helix is in the mood for double D's, then he stays with the normal twins. And if he's in the mood for an A, he goes to the left breast.
The left breast? Well, as in
the
A battery?
Yeah, to the side of it.
Yeah, but I mean, she's got double D's, right, Pip? You got double D's?
No.
Oh.
Really?
I'm like a C plus.
Really? I mean, I even have like a firm B.
Yeah.
So.
I got a little A. I got a little A going on.
No,
but
you don't.
Davin's
got a
little
got
B. Davin's got the B. And I could have. I would have bet good money that pit was a double D.
Yeah.
Or bigger.
Yeah.
No, you know, it depends on the bra. Sometimes I'm like really full C, and sometimes I'm a D.
Okay. Probably also depends on humidity.
Right? Humidity.
I feel like they swell when there's moisture.
How much ice cream I had last night?
That's me. That's you. So, you were... you.
Depends on how much salt I've been eating lately.
That's true, retaining the salt. Mm. So you're at home recovering.
I'm actually in bed because I was feeling really freaking tired.
Well, we appreciate you hopping on the air and telling everybody how you're doing. So when do they say that you're going to start feeling better?
Well, I'm not allowed to drive for a week. And then I said, when can I resume, like, normal activity? I'm just trying to get an idea from him, like, right after, or, like, when, you know, how long does it take to heal? And he goes, oh, by the weekend. And it was on Friday. And I was like, what the fuck? And then I realized he meant this upcoming weekend. So I guess, you know, I'm going to see how I really feel, but I literally just stopped taking Percocet last night.
Was that hard?
It was so painful. So.
Was that hard stopping the Percocet?
No.
Really?
I took
you
one.
Know,
I can't.
It's
I can't
like
do
you
it.
Just, I mean, I've had surgeries before, and it's like you just kind of go by how you feel, and like if you stop taking it and you're super miserable, you take it one more, and you just play it, you know, by ear, and then. Like last night, I thought, you know, I think I was a little bit long in between pills, and I didn't feel that bad. Let me just stop and see how it goes. And so now I'm done.
I think I took that stuff like once in my life, and it made me feel really warm.
Oh, I got really sick.
It made me feel really warm and good. I'm like, I got to stop doing this. I could see why people like.
Oh,
this.
Absolutely, you get addicted to that. Yeah. I had it one time when I had the rotator cuff surgery, and I threw up. I felt worse. Then I not having it,
really?
So I stopped. Yep, one time that was it. Then I sold the rest of the pills.
Did you?
No.
I could see you doing that.
No, I threw them out. I
could see you doing that to the softball team with some of the old fucks we got running around.
Hey, you want a Percocet? $30.
So really, a week? That's not that bad at all.
It's not. That's pretty good.
No, it's pretty amazing. Well, he actually said they were going to have, when we first had the consultation, he said that they would keep me overnight, and then when I went in, he's like, well, I'm working on it. It's going to be late at night, but I'm working on towards sending you home tonight. And it would be like 8 o'clock at night. And I just looked at him, and I go, you said I was staying over. And he's like, yeah, but, you know, if you don't care. And I'm like, do you suppose you guys could monitor me overnight instead of my nervous husband? And he's like, okay, done. You can stay over.
You know, he probably figures a lot of people want to get home, be in their own bed. It's hard to sleep in a hospital, but it's also hard to sleep with four cats running around.
No, like, fuck that noise. I want to be in the hospital if something goes wrong with this.
That's all. You might as well have the extra $14,000 burning a hole in your pocket
and
go to someone else.
Cobra's paying for that.
Oh, Cobra?
Cobra's paying for that. I think she just likes walking around in an assless gown.
Yeah, I like that. The new baboon ass. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, of course. Got that. Doesn't have to get out of her bed to take a crap. You know,
that's
got a nurse coming there. I don't know, it's the good life.
As a matter of fact, I might be checking into a hospital tonight.
You got that big round new red baboon ass. You want to show that shit off.
I show my ass off anyway.
Right now he is.
Right now I am. What will you insist, Walt? So a week. So yeah. Like theoretically, we're going to see you here next
week. But Mr. Helix and a couple of cats.
What?
Who's going to see it at home but Mr. Helix and a couple of cats?
Yeah, and they don't appreciate the way we would.
No.
Exactly.
So theoretically, we might see you here next week.
Theoretically. Let's see how I'm doing.
That's pretty good, though. I thought you were going to be like out of commission for like a month.
I'm still not sure about next week. I think that he was like overselling this because like right now I'm like, where's the number of that truck? But we'll see how I go.
Right, but it's Tuesday, and he said you'd be ready by you'd be feeling better by the weekend.
No, so. This coming weekend.
Yeah, this coming weekend.
Oh yeah,
it's only Tuesday now.
Yeah, it's Tuesday. You got time.
Yeah.
That's
I don't know. We'll see.
So now, what's the like? Are you supposed to have like a normal life going forward? What's the deal?
Well, the funniest part about this is, I am supposed to have like a normal life. The only thing is that I have to go in like every 9 years and have it replaced because of the battery. But that only takes about a half an hour, they tell me.
Oh, so you don't have to have the surgery every year, every 9 years.
No, they leave a little slot on the side.
How the fuck do
I know?
They
put the battery in.
She's like the old fucking toys we got.
They got a little door on the side, right, Pip?
I wish. wish it was that easy, but no, they'll actually have to open me up to pull it out. So I think it'll be like a minor surgery.
Well, you should have got one down. You should have got this defibrillator put in by your ass, and then they could just slip it in, the battery.
Yeah, but she doesn't need her ass working. Her ass just works fine.
Dude, you just get a long wire that goes up to the heart.
Just a wire. Like one of those old telephone wires that we used to get at Radio Shack. The old coil wires.
Running up the leg, around the torso. The whole thing going on.
Did they give you a rotary pacemaker? Is that like you just dial?
My health insurance is not great, so I got the discount one. It's rotary. Oh, my God.
Yeah, when they give you the shit by Radio Shack, you're in trouble because Radio Shack's not in business anymore. There's no warranty on that.
They should give her, like, a wireless charger like I got my phone on. You just lay on it one night, and it charges
up
your battery.
She's on COBRA. She don't get that type of fancy shit.
No, actually, I have really good health insurance because I paid through the nose because I knew I was about to have freaking heart surgery.
That's a good move.
But the device is under my armpit, and then there is a lead wire that goes under my boob and then up next to my boob so that it finishes across from the device so that it's sort of like the effect is sort of like the paddles that they put on either side of your heart and go clear, thump.
So is this going to affect swimsuit season?
No, actually nobody will be able to see it.
Oh, that's good. This worked out pretty well for you.
Yeah, this is nice. Can you go into water? I mean, the electric and...
She can no longer shower.
Can you do that?
She just gets...
It's going to get smelly in there.
She just gets licked by her cats. That's how she gets cleaned from now on.
How do you think I get clean now?
Oh, well, I was hopeful.
Oh, my God.
But there is one fun aspect of this. There's a device that sits next to my bed now, and it monitors my heart's activity. So it speaks wirelessly to the device under my arm, and it has a little button on it with a white heart on it. And when that thing starts to flash, the device is asking for information to be sent. So I have to press the button, and then there's this little icon that shows that it's communicating to the device. And so it's sort of like keeping a Tamagotchi alive.
A who now?
Do you remember Tamagotchis?
No.
What was that, those little square pets?
Yeah, there were these little electronic pets. I didn't have one, but I remember.
Because you were a fucking adult when they came out, you animal.
That was the good thing that came out of this? That you have the little Tamagotchi
Pip's
thing next to you?
Pip's our little Tamagotchi. We got to keep Pip alive. We got to remember to water her.
I thought it was like it gave you more energy. You know,
so this is like for the rest of your life.
This is for the rest of my life.
So you got that and the fucking CPAP machine. I got to tell you, Mr. Helix is very tolerant. I would tell you to sleep in another fucking room. I don't got time for all this shit.
I
got to
be honest. The first thing I probably would have said is, I think we should see other people.
Yeah. I would have said it. I just would have done it.
Sorry.
So what now? Is this all battery operated? Or what happens if there's a power failure?
That happens.
Walt. That was sorry, not sorry.
No, that's Walt.
That was.
So, like, is this battery operated or electric?
Yes, she said every 9 years she has to go in for the battery.
No, but I didn't know if this little device that's sitting at the side of her bed is battery operated.
No, oh, that thing's plugged in.
That's
plugged
in.
So what happens when there's, like, you know, say we get a Hurricane Sandy, you don't have power for a couple of days.
That's okay. It's just they won't get the recording information for a while.
Yeah, they won't talk to it. That's all.
It's not crucial that I do it. As a matter of fact, they said if I go away for a week, I don't have to, like, travel with it. And I'm like, oh, thank God, because it's bad enough hulking the CPAP machine around with me through TSA.
Oh, my God.
The CPAP is that thing that helps you breathe at night,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
There's a lot. I was
You are. When Mr. Helix pulled the slot machine of life, he got three cherries with you.
Now the cherry was long gone. He got the pits.
He got three gold bars with you, my dear.
You know what? You know what? She's fine. She's fine. I mean, she's a little fucking part robot at this point.
Oh, I can't wait 5 years down the road when she gets the lazy eye.
Why 5 years?
She's going to be a looker.
She's got all sorts of issues going on this
one. Oh, my God.
I was doing a show on Friday night, three other comics. I was the only one who didn't have a CPAP machine. I was the only one who could fucking sleep.
Chris Roach, he does a whole bit on that CPAP machine. Yeah, Chris Roach.
I was with Mike Keegan, Evan Weiss, and Rich Carucci. It was good to be the skinny one.
Yeah, I was going to say, what do they all have in common?
Yeah, I mean, they're all big boys. So. But yeah, that's scary. But
good
that's
for you, Pip. Getting into the Terminator age.
Terminator age. She's a regular T2.
Right. She's a T4.
I wasn't terminated.
That's right. You're alive, and that's the main thing.
So then you don't have to worry about that heart disease you had anymore.
I'm sure that I still have to worry about it. But one of the nasty side effects of it is that it would not regulate the electrical impulses in my heart correctly. So now this will make sure that if something fluctuates, it won't fluctuate to the point where I'll just have sudden death. So that was worrisome.
All right. Well, then this is a
step in the right direction.
All right. Well, you sound pretty good. All
yeah,
things
you sound
considered.
Great for getting hit by a truck.
Well, thank you. I pretty much feel okay. I'm just like sore, and I get tired so friggin' easy.
So basically, you're like me after I work out in the morning.
You're like me every day.
Yeah. Except now you can see.
Yeah, now I can see.
So.
Well, do you want to hang with us for a little bit? What do you want to do?
No, you know what? I appreciate it, but I think that I'm gonna take a nap.
We have that effect.
Yeah, thanks.
You don't want to stick around for the Handmaid's Tale?
Just like every other girl in my life. No, I gotta go.
Yeah, but she sounds happy.
No, tell your Handmaid's Tale story. I want to hear that.
All right. You know the Handmaid's Tale?
No.
All right. A lot of people don't. It's a show on Hulu. Do you watch the streaming service?
No. Oh, I have Netflix, but I don't really watch it often.
What are you watching? Cable still?
I'm still. It's baseball season.
Yeah, but I mean, it's the Mets.
I watch Gotham. I'm catching up on Gotham.
Gotham's done.
Yeah, I'm catching up, and then Arrow.
I know nothing of the Arrow.
Arrow, Green Arrow.
All right, so I will explain because I have a lot of people like you do not know what the show is because it's on Hulu.
It's on Hulu. Nobody really subscribes.
So I just started watching it. I'm halfway through season two. Have you watched it, Pip?
Oh yeah.
What's the name of it?
Handmaid's Tale.
Handmaid's Tale.
Yes.
Maids as in M-A-I-D-S or M-A-D-E-S?
Apostrophe S. Maids as in, I don't know.
Like a clean your house.
Clean your house.
All right.
Yes.
Handmaid's Tale.
Not like clean your house. They're like
no. The spelling.
They take care of the women folk in like royal houses.
He was asking me about the spelling.
The spelling.
Spell it.
Yeah. Thank. No. We got it, Pip. We're okay. Yeah. You better check that battery, Pip.
Battery's running low. Not getting oxygen to the brain.
She's like that little girl on Airplane that every time that thing popped out, she started drowning.
Yeah, it's like
good.
The damn nun was swinging her guitar.
It popped that little thing. That was Jill from, that was the little girl from Love Boat.
Yes, it was.
Yes, it was. The little girl.
Oh, wow.
Meryl Stubing's daughter.
Okay, Vicky?
Vicky.
Okay.
Her name was Jill Whelan. That's why I said
okay.
Jill.
Okay. So you finished the season. You finished both seasons.
I've seen season one and season two. Okay. I was really waiting desperately for it to come back on Hulu so I could see season three.
Well, it's a good thing you lived. It gave you a reason. That's good because it's coming out soon. So I'm halfway through season two, so she knows more than I do.
All right, Handmaid's.
Handmaid's Tale. So basically it's in the not-too-distant future in America, which has been renamed Gilead.
Okay.
The country's been taken over by a Christian fundamentalist group. There is also an issue with women becoming pregnant. Most cannot.
Okay.
And I think that's at least a North America thing because Mexico has a problem too with it.
Right.
Okay. Because of this, women who can give birth are called handmaids. They're essentially slaves and they're routinely raped in the hopes that they will get pregnant. They're routinely raped by the commander, some of the leaders.
Sounds like a winning show to me so far.
Homosexuality's outlawed, so now you're
it's
not
outlawed.
Happy.
It's outlawed, of course. Who's president?
I don't know who the president is.
There's no president on this? All right.
As far as I've seen, they have not gotten that far.
Is it Barron Trump? Is it Barron?
It's Barron Trump.
Trump. Okay,
it's Barron Trump. But if you're a homosexual, you're called a gender traitor, and they can kill you for that or send you to the colonies, which from what I've seen so far is pretty much radioactive shit where you're just digging until you die. That's as far as I've gotten. So it's okay. Like Chernobyl.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it seems like. It's like digging in a cross between someplace in Serbia and Chernobyl, and and you dig radioactive stuff until the radioactive material kills you.
Right.
Yeah, it's a long, slow, painful death. So the fundamentalists slowly gather influence, so they start changing laws, like making it illegal for women to work. All the women except the ones in the brothel are covered from head to toe, like an, as like a Puritan would be. And the thing is, women help bring this society about. To fully gain control, the fundamentalists killed Congress, the president, and the Supreme Court in a terrorist attack. They don't. They haven't shown that, at least not as far as I've gotten, but they alluded to it.
Is nagging legal?
No.
It's not.
Nagging is not legal.
Still not.
Although, you know what? There's a little nagging, but not as much as not as much as we deal with in today's society.
So that's good news about the future.
You know, I hadn't thought about that.
Go ahead.
You bring up a good point, Walt. Less nagging makes it ideal.
My God.
Sorry. I'll tell you what. We wouldn't be wasting pacemakers on women anymore.
Sorry, Pip.
So,
you don't know. I could be Fertile Myrtle. I could have been one of those.
Yeah, you're Aunt Pip. So, people try to escape to Canada. But it's very hard. So in this new America, hangings in public and stonings are commonplace. Armed guards are everywhere. So here's my thing. I think this could happen in this country. Because did you hear about this headline, Walt? In Ohio, they passed a new heart law, where if you have
the
heartbeat law. So you can't have an abortion after 6 weeks anymore. So there was this 11-year-old girl who was kidnapped and raped. This just happened. And she's pregnant, and she's after 6 weeks, and she can't have an abortion in Ohio.
And she can't move.
I mean, I guess if her parents took her to a state that doesn't have this heartbeat law, theoretically, she could. But that's kind of I think Pip had something like you would say, oh, that happened in Iran. You wouldn't expect that shit to be happening in the United States.
It's the very near future.
Well, that's happening now.
Yeah. Oh, over in Iran.
No, in Ohio.
Oh, in Ohio?
Yes, that's happening now. I mean, I don't know where you are in the pro-life spectrum or not, but I think that's really extreme. An 11-year-old gets raped, she can't have an abortion.
Yeah, okay.
You agree that's extreme?
I never really thought of it, but I would believe that she should. Yeah, I don't think she can take care of the daughter. She can't take care of the kid at 11.
Well, I mean, she was raped.
Yeah.
It's not like she wanted to have the kid.
I don't have an opinion either way on that.
Really?
I don't.
How do you not have an opinion on that?
For the radio show purposes, I don't have an opinion on that.
Why? Oh, now, no, because now you're a fucking government worker, too. Is that what that is? Oh, here we go.
I'm just saying. I would have to think about it. I've never put it
you
in those terms.
You
can have
an opinion.
I'm not going to off the cuff give you an opinion right now.
All right, well, I think that's pretty fucking
By the end of the show, I'll give you an opinion.
Fantastic. We can't wait to circle back to that.
Pip, you're going to be in dream 635 by then.
Okay.
So,
I'm in the middle of this nightmare that this country is trying desperately to turn back all of the physical autonomy that women have fought for, especially with, you know, their rights.
Where?
Regarding their fertility and their rights to not have children they don't want. I mean, the whole idea that this girl was raped and she's being forced to give birth to her rapist's child, it's absolutely ludicrous.
That's the TV show. Is
no,
that
that's
really
real.
Happening? Oh, that's real happening.
That just happened in Ohio. That's what I'm saying. That's one of the examples I'm saying. Like, I could see The Handmaid's Tale happening. I'll give you some more examples.
Go ahead.
That's just type of extreme shit where you go, I watch that on TV. Go, no, that's fucking happening
in
2019.
All right, I get you two are liberals. I get it.
Has nothing to do with
Joe,
liberals.
Could you hurry up and get here, Joe?
No, I don't think Joe. I don't think Joe wants raped 11-year-olds giving birth.
I agree. I don't agree. I'm leaning towards your way of thinking on this.
Well, you let me know when you want to make a firm opinion, Walt. You get back to me next Thursday.
Let's see if I can do that. If Pip doesn't make it here next week, I'll give you my opinion next week.
So I see the glory people give to guns, and in The Handmaid's Tale, there's guns everywhere. But that's because when you're in an authoritarian nation, you always have to have fucking guns because to keep everybody in line.
Right. Like Mad Max.
So the other day, Mike Pence said he was giving a commencement speech.
I see where this is going. Go ahead.
It has nothing to do with Trump, per se.
All right. It's going to eventually get back to Trump.
It always does.
But go ahead.
No, but it will. But
yeah,
it's not all Trump. That's not my point. So anyway, Mike Pence was giving a commencement speech. I don't know where he was giving it. But he said, if you're Christian, I guess be prepared to be ridiculed. this. So I see this like the victimization of being Christian, and I've never thought of Christians as being victimized in this country. You know, they get called on their shit, but so does everybody else. I mean, everybody gets called on their shit.
Yep.
So Christians are now part of that, but Mike Pence is like making it like, oh, we're victims. Be prepared to be ridiculed. So that's gonna make Christians more militant, I would think. Not all Christians, obviously, but like a little faction of the Christians, like, oh, they're coming for us. They're oppressing us. Which, again, I think
the fundamentalist Christians were trying to push their agenda on everybody else.
Right. Which is what The Handmaid's Tale was taken over. It wasn't taken over by regular Christians. It was taken over by the fundamentalist
right.
Group. I also see, now here's your Trump thing. I see the godlike status many of Trump supporters hold the president. They look at him as a god, which I've never really seen as a leader.
Do you want to know something? I'll tell you, I don't look at him as a god. But in the same way, I'm a Mets fan because I hated the way Yankee fans acted back in the 70s and early 80s.
They damaged you.
Yeah. But now I'm more fighting the haters than I am being worshiping Donald Trump as a great president. Does that make sense? I feel it's necessary for me to be taking you and everybody else on in this crusade because
it's consuming your
life.
No, but no, it's not. Doesn't consume my
it
life.
Is.
It really doesn't.
It is. Well, I bet you every story turns to Trump tonight.
No, I don't think it will.
All right. Well, I'm going to do it then.
Well, then you will do it because it consumes you.
Go ahead. No, it
no but here's the thing. If you had a strong moral core, a little bit of attack on you right here.
Go ahead.
But if you had a strong moral core, no matter who's the president, if you disagreed with something, you would call out that issue.
That's correct. I disagree with Donald Trump tweeting about everything. I'm calling it out.
That's a lot. A lot of his supporters do not like the tweets.
Yeah.
I mean,
but that doesn't make him a bad president. But no, go ahead. Go back to your authoritarian fake TV show in Ohio.
No, what I'm saying is because the way they look at these commanders in The Handmaid's Tale is kind of the way I see some people look at Trump, and in authoritarian nations where they don't really question. There's no question. I'm not saying you don't question, although if I had to say, I would say you don't question much.
I question a lot.
What? Well,
I question why we're talking about this TV show.
Just because I think it's interesting that I'm watching the show in the not-too-distant future, and I'm watching the fucking headlines in today's media and what's going on today. I'm like,
and you've never seen Arrow.
I've never seen Arrow.
This show you've seen, you've never seen Arrow.
What is that, another superhero show?
Yes, Green Arrow.
How many superhero shows can
there's
I
watch? There's a lot of great, it's all big right now.
I understand. Not as big as Handmaid's Tale.
No.
Handmaid's Tale is based on a really well-known dystopian novel by Margaret Atwood, and it's been ranked up there with Brave New World, 1984. I'm surprised that you don't know of it.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised he doesn't know of it.
Yeah, I'm not surprised either.
So now this isn't really a Republican-Democrat thing. I see how laws are only for when the other party is in power. So, like, I'll give you an example, which will not be anti-Trump. So when Obama was president,
yes,
when Obama was president, I used to hear the arguments about the economy from people who did not like Obama that these statistics aren't real. I heard it from Trump. The statistics aren't real. The unemployment rate is really much more this, that, the other. I heard those from the Trump supporters or the Republicans. Now that Trump is having very good numbers and the unemployment rate is low, you turn on MSNBC or CNN and they're quoting the same shit that the Trump supporters did and Trump did. Well, these numbers aren't real and the unemployment's there. So that's where I call bullshit a pox on both their houses. But I see how people are trying to skew the same argument for their own.
What I see is the unemployment numbers are down and I don't really care how they got there.
Right. But the thing is, and it's good. It's good that they're down. But the thing is, these numbers were called fake, and now the same people who called them fake are calling them real, and the same people who called them real are calling them fake. That's what I'm talking about. So there's no real laws or rules or guidelines. We're just bending it for our own argument, which I found similar to what happened in Handmaid's Tale, because you have these guys living this puritanical lifestyle, yet the guys are going to the brothel where they're doing like what you would expect to happen at a brothel. You know, so they're hypocrites, like we see now. Like
all the politicians are hypocrites,
right?
They're
well,
all
not
hypocrites.
All of them, but a lot.
Most
of them.
Of them are.
A lot of them are.
Most of them are.
Well, that's what
I'll
saying.
Give you an example. Nancy Pelosi does not want walls, but her house is surrounded by walls. I'm just saying that's if you're,
house also has a roof and a concrete floor.
That's a wall.
No, that's not a wall. It's a roof and a floor.
Walls, and she's got walls around her house.
She
and then she's got
roof.
Walls around her house.
Dude, would you like to build a dome over the country like they did in the Simpsons movie? Is that where we're at?
You know, it was pretty nice, the Truman Show.
See, that,
the Truman Show was a very nice place to live.
Except for him.
Yeah.
he
loved it until he realized what it was.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Everybody loves it until they realize what's going
on. Yeah.
I see how we've grown immune to school shootings. Just the other day when we were going right on the air, last Tuesday, there was like a school shooting in Colorado.
Again.
Yeah, and I just try to go, oh, another school shooting. Like, it doesn't even fucking stop us, and I'm as guilty as anybody with that. And I know, what was it, last year, your son's school was on like lockdown or
yep.
something, right?
Yep.
I think you were here.
Yeah.
When that was going on. And we just grow immune. We grow immune to awful, which is what happens in Handmaid's Tale. They see how people just adapt. Things get worse and worse and worse, and the people are adapting to that. And I see that in myself, and I see that with other. We are immune to racism now, anti-Semitism, threats of violence, all these things. I said 3 years ago on this show that there's going to be an uptick in anti-Semitism. I said, you know what, I never thought of growing up, but my parents always said, as a Jew, you have to have a passport because things could turn here. And I was a kid in the 80s and 90s. I go, no.
What does that mean, get out of here?
So you could go to Israel.
Oh.
I always used to poo-poo it, and Joe poo-pooed it. But I'm seeing what's going on in this country, and we happened in Warwick a couple years ago where you had the vandalism of the cemetery.
Yeah, cemeteries.
And we see this go. We see the increased anti-Semitism and racism, some of which we'll cover tonight in some of the stories. I see how
right,
they...
and I see the attacks on women, and I see the attacks on the division between church and state, and I see the movement toward totalitarianism. I mean, we have somebody who's in charge who looks towards totalitarian leaders like Kim Jong-un and says, gee, you know, I like the way his people treat him. Yeah, because they'll get killed if they don't. And he's talking about, oh, you ruined two of my years. I wish I had two more years. You'd like to be installed as king, would you?
Well, he
There's
would.
A lot of parallels between what's in these dystopian shows like Handmaid's Tale, especially the attack on women's reproductive rights, and it can't be dismissed.
I see how the evangelicals readily gave up all the things they claimed they stood for. Now, whether you love Trump or don't love Trump, it doesn't really matter. That's irrelevant. But you would not. But most people would not go, well, there's an image of a good Christian. You could love Trump, but the evangelicals, because they're getting the judges that they wanted, they sold out all the rules that preached because they're getting all the judges they wanted. And Trump is giving them a lot of pro-life
that
judges.
That's called the cost of an election.
No, I understand.
Yeah, that's
but,
it.
But what I'm saying is people selling out to get their religious goals. People looking past the things they professed to stand for, like in this show, to get a political resolution that they like. So the evangelicals, you know, don't divorce, don't cheat on your wife, You got Donald Trump, who does all those things. I'm not saying it's good or bad that he does it. I don't care one way or the other. But because Donald Trump promised to give them pro-life judges, a promise which he has kept,
sure,
they are willing to sell out all of the things they claim to believe in.
And they're going to do it in 2020.
They're going to do what?
They're going to vote for him again.
Yeah, most of them, yeah. Oh yeah, most of them. But I see that in the like with these fundamentalist Christians, like they want a better life, and then they start to do the atrocities. That's what's going on in The Handmaid's Tale. So I just watch The Handmaid's Tale, and I watch what's going on in our country now. I go, huh? I wonder if it was supposed to seem not that far away. That's all. Thoughts?
I agree with everything that you're saying. I mean, I am. Afraid, actually, for the way that this, the way our country is turning, and the way that, well, it has become almost impossible for us to have polite and reasonable discourse because people just stick to their sides and plant themselves in it, and our rights as individuals are being eroded. It's not that we're afraid that they're going to be; they are being eroded.
Well, our rights being eroded started under George W. Bush, continued under President Obama, and have continued under Donald Trump. I mean, 9/11 was used as an excuse to start taking away our rights. W started it.
Yes.
Obama doubled down on it, and Trump's like, "Fuck yeah, let's continue it." So I mean, that's not one party or one person. That's Americans falling asleep at the wheel and you know, not sticking up for our rights, because they can pretty much spy on us. And, you know, Trump wants them to take for the border wall, wants them to take land, which was something Republicans never were, eminent domain. Republicans were always against that. So, you know, it all depends if it's your team. You know, I didn't hear too many people bitching. I didn't hear too many liberals bitching when Obama was taking away our rights. And I didn't hear too many people bitching when W was doing it. And, you know, you don't hear too many people bitching when Trump does it.
It's all what team you're on.
For a lot of people, yes.
If you're on the Democratic team, if they say the sky is green, then you believe the sky is green, and you fight everybody who doesn't think the sky is green.
There are some like that.
No, there's a lot like that. And the same thing on the Republican side.
No, you know, like I used to say, Obama's not your boyfriend when there were liberals like that, but I honestly didn't see as many liberals like that. Like, it's breathtaking to see how Donald Trump has taken over the Republican Party, because what the Republicans—
They hated him.
Right. Then he did not stand for what traditionally what the Republicans stood for. He didn't really stand for anything.
I don't think we're ever getting a president that's going to be presidential again. That's what I think.
So you think
I don't think any one of these 270 Democrats that are running.
is that what we're up
yeah,
to?
I don't think, any one of them are going to beat this guy. He's going to win again. And then come 2024, when the election's up again, they're going to have two new candidates in there, and one of them is going to be like Donald Trump, who doesn't care about anything, and he's going to tweet, and that's just how it's going to be.
That's pretty sad.
No, it's not sad, because your life has not changed. Pip's life has not changed besides that
people's
thing on the wrong.
No, because there's a lot less people on health care now. There are now the farmers are getting subsidies, whereas before they were making money from selling their crops. Things have changed.
Okay.
You have to pay attention. Has it changed here in my basement? No.
Yeah, things have changed. I've moved from one job to another. Yes, I've changed.
Right, but I'm saying there are, like, for instance, in Ohio, like the story we started this with,
yes.
Whereas a year ago, this 11-year-old who was raped could have gotten an abortion.
But that's Ohio, though. That's not a federal thing, is it?
No.
It's Ohio.
Right.
That's
but,
not the
but
dude
that's
Donald.
Where they were marching towards.
Go after your boy John Kasich, then.
He's not the governor.
Well, when he was, it had to be when he was there. Who's the governor over there now?
No, it's another Republican. I don't know his name. It could be Googled. I don't know his name. It's another Republican.
His last name is Google?
His last name is Google.
Pip, can you research that while you're being quiet over there? The governor of Ohio is Google.
He's Google of the Connecticut Google.
Oh, really?
Yes. He's from the Connecticut Googles.
The Connecticut Googles. Oh, the Connecticut Googles. Those high-flying Googlers.
Sound just like Johnny Watson.
Johnny Watson, yes. Doing his mother's impression of his mom.
His mom.
That's a whole nother
show. I know his mom, too, and his mom sounds nothing
mom,
like that.
No, of course not. She sounds like a Jersey woman. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
she is. Judy.
Judy. She loves you, but anyway.
Who doesn't love me?
There's a list.
You know who's out there listening to me right now?
Who's listening? Your buddy Ty?
No. Oh, Ty Barnett. Imagine that, Brett.
Well, Walt has like the most hostile people towards him and sticking up for him on his site. I just scroll past your site.
There's a friend of mine, a Facebook friend of mine that's out there listening right now.
Okay.
He used to play second base for the Seattle Mariners, Brett Boone.
Oh, okay.
Say hello to Brett.
Hello, Brett.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, his brother's doing. You know, I wasn't really high on Aaron last year. He's doing a nice job this year.
He is. And he's doing it with smoke and mirrors with these players.
That's why it's a nice
good for
job.
Him. I mean, I'm not a Yankee fan, but I have to be civil towards Aaron Boone because I'm friends with Brett Boone.
Is that why it is?
And I went to school with Jack Curry.
Oh, really?
I did. I graduated high school with Jack Curry.
And of course, Jack Curry has the book with David Cohn now.
That's correct.
Are you going to get the book?
I don't know. Maybe.
I mean, it was about when he was with the Mets.
Was it?
No, I mean, but there's
Cohn.
There's part of that when Cohn was with the Mets.
I don't like to read.
Then you'll stop reading after that.
Yeah. I don't really read. I don't have time to read.
No, that gets in the way of your porn. I understand. Those are jerking hands, not page turning hands.
Pip, how's the Duracells doing?
You could move the book aside while you do that. You know.
I don't do that anymore.
Well, you know, privacy.
I'm following Alyssa Milano.
You want to talk about that?
Yeah, let's talk. I'm going on a sex strike.
All right, so briefly, Alyssa Milano, who was in Charmed and Who's the Boss and a bunch of other things, she put out there, because Georgia has the new heartbeat law, a very restrictive abortion laws. She put out there, we should have a sex strike? A sex strike, yeah.
Something happened in Georgia with, I guess,
the abortion laws.
Yeah, the abortion laws changed. So she's calling on, I don't know if she's calling just on Georgians or she's calling on... all of America to go on a sex strike. And I'm way ahead of you there, Alyssa Milano.
Do you think that works though?
A sex strike?
Like think if you were like a younger, and you like say you know somebody in your like if you were like really pro anti-abortion, if you were really anti-abortion, and your wife said, you know what, I'm
on strike.
Yeah, and would that change your mind?
This thing right here is closed.
Well, but you would probably have a
closed for business.
It's closed for business. It's condemned.
I'd be like, how's your friend feel about this?
Can I go in the back door?
Right. No, I don't know. The woman might actually go along with it for maybe a week or maybe 2 weeks or 3 or a month, but eventually she's going to say, you know what, Alyssa Milano, you're an ass.
Maybe she won't.
Maybe she won't.
I know.
You know that's not the woman for you.
No, but I think this would frustrate guys more than it would frustrate women.
Oh yeah, but that's what it is. It's supposed to put the hammer down on men. I mean, women don't care.
Well, I think women care.
Some of them. Pip, do you care if you have sex anymore?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's a bad example.
Pip, are you on strike with Alyssa Milano?
Are you going to go on strike?
Well, look, do you think anybody's having sex with me with all the machinery I got attached to me?
That's a good point.
Now?
I think it's kind of fucking erotic.
Yeah.
I've never wanted to do you more. I like that. I'm like, I'm doing a cyborg. This is amazing.
It's like having sex with a pinball machine.
I'm going to tilt.
I do make little dinging noises.
That is hot. Every time I think you can't get hotter, Pip.
There it is. So
I know.
So do you agree with Alyssa Milano, Pip?
No, I think that this is a very high-minded argument. I mean, just going back to Lysistrata, this is a Greek play where all the women in the town had a sex strike, and the men all banded together because they were so frustrated, and they did what the women wanted. But I don't think that this is something that works in today's world, actually.
I don't think anybody's going to do it. I think people are just talking about it, like us right now.
Yeah, which
that's
I wouldn't even talk about.
I don't think anybody's doing it.
In that respect, it is bringing attention to the problem.
It is. It is.
That was smart.
But I feel like when Hollywood studios are saying we're not going to do anything in Georgia now, I feel that brings more attention because that's a lot of jobs.
From what I heard, Atlanta is a really big hotbed of movie shooting.
Who's the black guy that has all the movies out there? I can't think of his name right now.
Medea?
Who's that guy? Tyler Perry. So I think he's like a big studio in Atlanta. Now I don't know if he's part of this, but yeah, no, there's and that's what happened with North Carolina. I want to say with the bathroom laws, like all like you had like the NFL saying you're not going to get the Super Bowl, stuff like that, or the NCAA finals, whatever it was. People pull out business.
I know the Walking Dead franchise films in Georgia.
Not anymore. I don't know. Maybe the Walking Dead from the waist down. But I think that's more effective than Alyssa Milano saying no more sex.
Nobody cares about Alyssa Milano.
No, I think you're right.
Yeah, nobody cares. I mean, it's just somebody who's trying to prolong her career. I mean, she's mad because she didn't pay anybody to put her kids in college. She didn't get caught yet.
No.
I'm just saying, she's trying to stay relevant, Alyssa Milano.
No, women do pay attention to Alyssa Milano, but the thing is that I don't think that she's got the kind of pull, or anybody has the kind of pull, to have people actually go on a sex strike.
Women, give me your snatches. We shall shut them down. Men shall take cock in hand and jerk as we are taking all the vag off the market.
Wow, I felt like I was at the Renaissance Fair there.
Well, you know, I'm very classy that way. When I talk about shutting down the vag, I wanna elevate the conversation.
I'm just saying, if Alyssa Milano is listening.
Elevated and very stirring. None for Mr. Helix.
Yes.
Well, poor Mr. Helix. It's, you know.
I don't think he's getting it anyway. Not this week, at least.
No. Next.
Not this week.
Not this week. No. Not with all that.
Although, if Pip
cat spit all over you.
If Pip rolls over, she sleeps on her tum tum. Then you know, Mr. Helix can have some fun.
Listen, if Alyssa Milano is listening right now, I just want to tell her, you're not the boss.
Oh wow. Wow.
See that?
Yeah.
Who's the boss?
That joke was very charmed.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Nah, he's very charming.
Oh, man.
I'll tell you, the wife, when I'll come into the bedroom, the charmed is still on.
Is she married? Is Alyssa Milano, is she married?
I don't know.
I would wonder if she is on sex strike.
I would imagine her husband would be a very woke fellow. I would.
He'd go along with it?
Yeah.
Yeah, honey, no problem. Yeah, I don't need it.
But then again, I mean, if he's married there, he knows what it is. He can go without. It's not, you know.
He probably is going without every time she gets mad.
He already believes in what she's talking about. And so she doesn't have to hold back from him.
I don't believe that.
There is the chance he might be like, enough already, but at least you're out of the house.
Oh, my God. I wish I could think of a way to shut you up.
Yeah, I mean, you know, women like that, you watch The Handmaid's Tale, I see the pluses. I mean, I could see it either way. I mean, there is something to be said for you bitches being respectful. There is something to be said for that, Piff.
That's never going to happen.
Well, in the dystopian future, it has.
Pip, tell Mr. Helix tonight that you're on sex strike and see how that goes over.
Mr. Helix will say, I've been on sex
strike. Laughing and laughing and laughing.
He's going to say, I'm sorry, what is sex?
He would say, did you think that was even going to happen anyway?
Yeah, that's a good point. See, she even admits
but
it.
But I think it affects the young people. The young people want to have the sex.
They don't care. They're going to find somebody who is going to want to have sex.
Yeah, I see a lot.
You're on strike? Okay. Thank you. Finish your drink, get out of here, and then you move on to the next one. That's what they're going to do when they're 20 years old.
Yeah, I don't know if the sex...
The young people are going to be affected by the... My husband coming home and looking at Frankenboob is not exactly going to feel like a strong problem with holding...
Here we go again. Whenever you get, I just can't think of you being any sexier, and then you bring out Frankenboob.
I know. You know what? Bitches.
You know, she's got two little bolts in the boob.
That is awesome. sticking out, a little lightning bolt on the side. That's awesome.
See, if Joe was here, he would do his Herman Munster impression right now. That's pretty much what Joe would do.
Grandpa.
Yeah, all right, you can play the part of Joe. It's not that hard. Do you have five more voices? You're in.
I'll try them.
Joe's a man of a half a dozen voices.
Half a dozen.
I have to tell you something funny. I was talking to my friends on my phone. I was trying to explain what was going on with where this medical device went. And every time I would type the word boob, it would substitute Bob. So now I give up. It's just named Bob.
Oh.
All right.
Oh, didn't somebody put on your Facebook, Neil? Sensei put, name the other one Neil, right?
I know, Neil and Bob.
Yeah, because the wife was reading that, was telling me about that, and I said she's already got a boob named Neil. But she wouldn't type that. She's like, you could type it. No. I'm not scrolling around looking for it. But all right, that was my point about The Handmaid's Tale.
I'm still not going to watch that show.
It's a very depressing show.
I'm not going to watch it. There's too many things on to watch.
There's no comedy in it. There's not many shows where there's like no light moments. This show I watch go, oh, this is so depressing.
And somebody came up with that idea. Somebody came up with, you know what, we're going to do this and put it in the future, and we're going to make this show and put it on Hulu, and Davin and Pip are going to watch it.
No, a lot of people watch it.
You know what? Elizabeth Moss cries every episode.
Who?
Elizabeth Moss, she's the main character.
Oh, okay.
She cries every episode?
At least.
Is it really believable, though, that all these fellows are falling for her? She's a little hippie.
I think probably because everything is so restricted and everything is so not allowed, I think that it's probably pretty hot to find somebody who's willing to risk it.
Yeah, but let's be honest. The commander's wife, Serena. That's who owns the main character. Yeah. His wife, Serena, much hotter than the handmaid, and she's willing to get down and dirty. She's offered, but he's like, no.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to leave that up to you, but I think Elizabeth Moss is hot.
You think she's hot?
Yeah,
I think she's all right.
Pip's got a little lesbian tendencies going on.
Pip's got
a
lot of lesbian tendencies.
I like that.
That's why I'm on the show.
I like that.
Boobs are good.
You got three boobs now. Well, two and a half.
Two and a half.
A little
protrusion on the side.
It's not a fucking head, stupid. It's not like she's got a head underneath her arm looking over at the
boobs. No, two and a half boobs, I said. Not heads. All not right. Two and a half bobs.
All right. So would you like us to let you go?
I think I'm going to take a nap.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Pip. Feel better.
Hopefully we'll see you next week. Feel better.
Thanks, guys. Have a good show.
All right. Talk bye-bye.
So long. So that was really weird, that show, and Pip.
So here, this is something maybe more you can relate to. All right. Were a wrestling fan growing up, right?
I was a big wrestling fan.
Who were your favorite wrestlers growing up?
The Hot Rod.
Rowdy Piper.
Yeah, Roddy Piper was my favorite, and Ric Flair was my second favorite.
So you're like me. You were drawn to the bad guys.
The bad guys. I was always the bad guys because they would tell you what they thought, and then they would just laugh at you.
They did do that.
Yeah, Roddy would do that.
Good guys did that, but they didn't laugh.
Nah, the good guys, everybody could be a good guy. I mean, I was a Hogan guy when he came in.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I liked Piper because he went at Hogan.
Well, I like Piper. Piper, because there's a point to all this. And it's going to get to comedy in a second. But I was thinking about it because as a kid in the early 80s, 84, you know, Hulk Hogan and Rowdy Piper were the biggest ones.
Yeah, Paul Orndorff was one of the guys.
But he was a secondary character. But Hogan was the main hero.
Right.
And all the kids liked Hulk Hogan, and the parents liked Hulk Hogan because it was wholesome. Say your prayers, eat your vitamins. And Rowdy Piper was not. He was funny. Roddy Piper's catchphrase is, you know, just when they have all the answers, I change
the question.
I change the question. I was always drawn to Roddy Piper.
Oh, so we got that in common.
Yeah, we did. But most people, we were in the minority.
Yeah. I like Jake the Snake Roberts.
Like Jake the Snake, too. Another bad guy. You know what? Because they were interesting.
Yep.
They had more depth, and they could have an arena of 20, 50, 75,000 people booing them.
Same thing with Flair. I was a big Flair guy.
Right. I wasn't aware of the NWA at the time, but yes, right. he was in the Southern Territories doing the same type of
championship wrestling from Florida, Tuesday nights 11 o'clock on Channel 47.
Is that then or now?
That was back then. Oh. There was no cable. It was just you had a
UHF.
UHF.
But those people, those wrestlers that we just named, could get a whole arena of people booing them just by words.
Correct.
Whereas the faces, the good guys, the Hulk Hogan's, who else was like the Mike Rotundo's, Barry Windham's, you know,
Mike Rotundo, look at that, you know, U.S. Express,
right? But
that was the two of them.
Yeah, when they were fighting Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkov.
But
they would get cheers by hitting. By after being beaten up, they come back and they hit. But the guys we named, the guys you and I liked, they got it through words
throughout the yeah.
So I was thinking about this the other day because people always ask me as a comic, who are the comics that influence you? It's a normal question.
Sure.
And I never really had an answer for that. I'm like, because you know what? I like comedy. As a little kid, I would watch, what was it, on Channel 5 where we live, Comic Strip Live on Saturday nights.
Yeah, sure.
And of course, it was on A&E.
That was, whatchamacallit, John Mulroney was the host of that show.
Very big show. But I always liked comedy as a kid.
From Igby's in Los Angeles. John Mulroney.
But now I was thinking, I'm like, you know what? I think Rowdy Roddy Piper might be the comic that influenced me.
Yeah?
Because I'll give you an example. Because the other day, I'm doing a fundraiser for animal shelter people, you know, for an animal shelter. Have you ever put those shows together when you guys were doing a lot of comedy fundraisers?
Yeah, not for animal fundraisers, but yes, for fundraisers.
Okay. Well, the animal fundraising people, as you would imagine, very pro-animal.
Sure.
I mean, I love animals, too.
Stay away from the animal jokes.
Yes. Stay away from... That's what a smart comic would do. That's the advice Walt would give me if I was doing the gig for him. You know, don't do any animal jokes. But I don't really think like that. So I'm doing the show...
Oh, no.
Listen to me. I'm doing the show on Friday.
Oh, my God.
And a guy in the front row is reading the pamphlet that came with the show during my set. Like, just to begin, like, what he did was like, oh, I'm reading. I'm like, now's the time?
Yeah.
So I start busting his chops, as you would imagine, everything. And it comes out at home, because I asked him, what type of pet do you have, because you're here. He's got a disabled cat with, like, two back legs that don't work, that has diabetes and everything. So now what would you expect the audience to do when they hear this man has a disabled cat?
They would probably ooh and ah and be sad, right?
Most comics would move away from this.
Yeah, Yeah, most.
Not me.
No. Not Roddy Piper.
Not Roddy Piper.
When you thought I was leaving, I come in.
I turned on him. I go, what are you on? I go, you don't know this cat. He could be an asshole cat. Just because this cat is handicapped, you think he's a good cat? Maybe it's good that he's not getting around and being a prick to other people. I go, you assume all handicapped people are good people? I go, there's plenty of disabled people that are pricks out there. So I turned it around. I got them laughing. I go, listen, I'm not going to have you people stereotype like that. So I fucking turned it around on them and had them laughing. I played the heel. And it made me think, That's really what I do in my act. You've seen me.
Yeah.
I really do talk about all the shit we're not supposed to.
That you're not supposed to.
Race, religion, politics, kid touching. In this case, the disabled cat and everything. I used to talk about terrorism and shit. And why do I do that? Because
you don't like going back to the same place twice.
I don't like going back to the same place.
That's it. It makes sense.
But no. Well, it is more dangerous. Because the face comic, the good guy comic, what's he going to talk about? He's going to talk about the difference between men and women.
Right.
He's going to talk about how the good old days, the toys that we used to have.
How my back hurts now and it never did.
That stuff.
How we had a phone with a cord on it and we couldn't leave the room.
Yes.
Yes, I get it.
It's a very... And listen, the audience adores that comic.
That's right.
Loves...
That's Jerry Seinfeld.
I mean, Seinfeld... Yeah.
Wholesome, you know, the
phone...
Yeah,
but the guys we see are doing it are not Jerry Seinfeld.
No. But that's what people
you
look for.
You have certainly seen a number of those guys walk through your doors when you had the club.
Right.
And 9.5 times out of 10, knocked it out of the park.
Absolutely.
It is a crowd-pleasing thing. The audience adores them. And it occurred to me, I don't want that.
Yeah.
I would rather...
You want to be the heel.
Yes. I want to be the guy that people find interesting. I want to get them to laugh at shit they don't want to laugh at. Because a good heel wrestler, he's so evil that you boo him. But at the end of the day, he's the guy you remember.
That's right. Because
he's the one that pushes your buttons. I mean, we all like Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan wins with the leg drop at the end and he poses and he gets all the cheers. But at the end of the day,
you remember what Roddy Piper did.
He said Piper controlled everything. Yeah. He made Hogan look good. And then it gets to the point where the heel is so good that they have to turn him into a face, a good guy. We saw that with Piper. We saw that with Randy Savage, who I loved. I mean, he was just a
macho man, yep.
Yeah, I mean, so then it occurs to me, I am the heel comic.
Do you know that Roddy Piper one time was walking up to the rink and he was hated so badly that an old lady stuck a pen and almost punctured his lung?
Really?
She stuck a pen inside him because she was so angry at this guy.
In the early 80s and the 70s, people didn't know the shit was fake.
Yeah.
They really believed. And the wrestlers would keep the characters even when they weren't in wrestling.
That's right.
They would. Whereas now, you know, all right, the guy, you're booing him 1 minute, and then he's, you know, doing Make-A-Wish with kids the next minute.
That's right.
You know, he's living a life. He's giving to the community. He's a good guy. He just plays a dick on TV.
Everybody. You know when that was all brought out was when Hacksaw Jim Duggan and the Iron Sheik. He was America, and he's like, Iran, and then you found out that they got busted on the New Jersey Turnpike smoking pot together in the car.
Yeah. What was that, like 87?
Yeah, it was like that. That's when everybody's like, wait a minute. I thought they hated each other, those two guys.
I remember that.
Yeah.
That's
when it all turned. And I was like, all right, now everybody's starting to believe it might be set up.
I mean, as a kid, I always heard it was fake, but you didn't know.
No.
But back when Piper got stabbed in the early 80s, late 70s.
Yeah, man, there was a lot of people like that. Yeah. They would just, you know, get stabbed. My biggest claim to fame, and I'm telling you, this is my biggest claim to fame. In wrestling, I was at Madison Square Garden, and I was at almost the top of the, like, two rows from the top. And that was back when people used to throw cups into the ring.
They still do that shit.
Yeah, but now they stop it because they'll throw you out.
They did it at the screw job, the Montreal screw job.
That was Bret Hart?
Bret Hart and
Shawn
Michaels.
Yeah, at the end of that, you can't get everybody at once. But now nobody would throw a cup in there because
you get
kicked out and it's cost too much. But up at the next to the top of the row, you know the knot on a pretzel, like a soft pretzel?
Yeah.
You get that knot. It's like almost like a ball. I threw it from the top of the arena and I hit Junkyard Dog right off the head.
Get out of here.
I swear to God.
That's a fucking throw. That's a hell of a throw.
I had a good arm back then.
You had a great arm back then.
I was just throwing it to the ring. I didn't know I was going to bounce it off his head.
Yeah, what was going through your head? What made you want to do that?
I was aiming. I think he was fighting the Iron Sheik, and I was aiming for the Iron Sheik.
Oh, so your arm wasn't that good. You had bad
aim. Yeah. It hit him right off the head, and I was like,
that had
oh,
hurt.
Man. Yeah. Oh, it was a soft pretzel.
But it's far away.
Yeah. I don't know how. I mean, it had a big head. What can I say?
You were buying all into it, too.
No, yes, I was buying into it. I didn't. You know what? I don't even know if I knew it was fake or real back then.
It was, the Iron Sheik riled you up so much.
No, but everybody was throwing stuff in there.
But I'm saying, the Iron Sheik, who was the heel,
yes,
the provocateur, riled everybody up.
That was his job.
Right, because he was the heel. That's the guy everybody remembered. You didn't love the Iron Sheik, but you remembered him. He would spit and everything.
Yeah. That's it. So you're Rowdy Roddy Piper.
I'm not saying.
I hope you don't get shanked in like a comedy club.
It's possible.
You know what? Take one.
Take one.
You'll be in the
news.
I'm
much more interesting then.
Yeah, take one. It's only a pen cap.
But what do you think? I don't think there's a lot of heel comics. Not that I'm a heel.
I think you should run with this, bro. Run with this. Start making posters up. Put a mask on.
I'm a luchador.
A luchador. Davin Mascaras.
Davin Mascaras. They'll just look at
Mascaras.
Mascaras. Yeah, a guy died in the wrestling ring last week. Silver King.
I have no idea. Was that a Mexican wrestler?
Yeah, but he wasn't wrestling.
Luchinos or whatever.
He was in, Nacho Libre? He was in that movie.
Really?
He was wrestling a Juventud Guerrero, you know.
Okay.
You know Juventud Guerrero, right?
It was a Hector Guerrero's son or something? Yes.
Was
I
it?
Think it was, yeah.
No, I think that's Eddie Guerrero.
Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah.
Well, I think Hector was his brother or his father.
I'm sure there's other comics like me that are pushing buttons, but there's not a lot of them. Especially in this climate.
No. Yeah, you know Paul Bond. Paul Bond does it a little bit.
Yes.
He does it a little bit, not a lot.
He's the honky-tonk man. He's got a guitar.
Yeah. He is. Wayne Ferris.
But he also does a lot of the face stuff that I talk about. Back in my day.
Yeah.
You know, he does a lot of that.
Yeah.
No, the most...
I think you're onto something here.
It wasn't like I was trying to come with something. I was just thinking about, like, after that show, after how I got them to cheer, how I twisted how they looked at disabled people,
yeah.
And I got them to come to my side. I'm like, nobody else would fucking do this. There's not a lot of comics that would go, you know what, fuck this disabled cat and fuck disabled people.
Lucky, though. They could have turned on you just as easy, I think.
They could have.
Yes.
But here's the thing. I was elevated. If you think about it, I was elevating the disabled because what I'm saying is I'm not looking at them as the sympathetic character or sympathetic cat. I'm saying they're humans or cats like everybody else. You think just because somebody has a disability that they're so much nicer. But there's plenty of disabled people that are pricks, plenty of disabled people that are nice people, too.
Yeah.
You know.
There's a lot of disabled people that are angry. I get that. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure they have a good reason to be angry.
Yep.
I don't judge them for being angry.
No.
But they
could have turned on you just as easy.
Yes, but that pretty much
could have been messy.
Yes, but they don't turn on me.
That's because you're tiny and cute and you have soft hands.
Well, they don't feel my hands like you do.
You have very soft hands.
I have lovely hands.
Like fishy hands. Like
but if you think about it, though, that's why guys like Piper kept on working in it. You fucking hated him. But you couldn't deny
him. You know, Roddy Piper was never like that when he was...
He was a nice
guy. Before 84. Before 1984, when he became over... He was just Roddy Piper. He was just starting to be the Roddy Piper character. Otherwise, I think he was almost a jobber. You know, a guy who loses matches to the...
No, I think he was pretty successful.
When they brought him over. Originally,
well,
he came
over in the early 80s. Came over
Yeah, he came 80s. Over from AWA, I believe. Or something from down south. The Southern wrestling,
but what I'm saying is what I'm saying is these wrestlers, the ones we talked about, the heels that you and I were drawn to, people hated them, but there was something undeniable about them.
I loved them.
But you and I were in the minority. Most people did not love them. They loved to hate them. You and I loved
yes,
them.
Yes, right.
Hey, Joe.
Most people didn't like Deion Sanders as a baseball player. I loved him because he was good. He told
he
you
was
he was
hated.
Good, and he did. He was good.
People didn't like Ricky Henderson.
Football, right. He was good, and he told you he was good. Bo Jackson.
But people like Bo Jackson. They didn't like Brian Bosworth.
The Boz, right. I liked the Boz, even for the 1 year he was there.
We were talking about wrestling heels, and that my influence as a comic might be Rowdy Roddy Piper, that I'm a heel comic.
I would say that.
I didn't even bat an eye last
Joe,
no.
Joe is Baron von Raschke.
Yeah.
He doesn't even know who that is. Joe Baron just feels he should be deported.
I'll be humming Munster.
See, we just did that.
But I think there's something to that. Like, Joe is more of a face of more of a good guy. You know, because Joe's act is more like, you know, these kids today, you know, when we were growing up, it was like this, but they don't know.
If I want ketchup, I'm going to have goddamn ketchup.
Right.
That's Joe.
Joe is essentially say your prayers and eat your vitamins.
That's right.
Joe is Hulk Hogan in this. And
right.
There's a lot more It's the safer way to go. You're definitely going to get adored a lot more easily.
That's true. And Joe, listen, to your credit, you're a little bit more successful than him because of that.
Listen, brother.
You're allowed in places a second time where Davin isn't.
No.
That's not really true.
I'm only kidding.
I can name about five places.
But
I like the way he says really true.
Sometimes. There's some places I can't go back.
Some places.
But it's... But when you were hiring comics, did you want to? I mean, and I understand it too because I book comics. You want the safer route.
Yeah, you want to make sure that people are going to laugh because you get the one shot. You get that one shot, and I would never want to take a chance. That's why I like to see people. I like to see people before.
Yeah.
Or, have a very good, talent evaluator mm-hmm. tell me, yes, this is a can't miss.
Right, right, right.
But otherwise, if somebody, somebody contacted me through Facebook and said, hey, I'm a headliner all across the country, and I've never seen them, and they send me their best tape, I can't trust it because I only get that one shot to right. do the Port Jervis Elks Club.
Right, right.
I'm not going to take a chance on,
Which I'm going to do a guest spot,
No, I don't believe in those. I just don't believe in guest spots anymore because every one of them, the person who came, sucked.
Really?
Yes. There's nothing worse, and I learned this the hard way, that a comic says, hey, can you give my friend 5 minutes? I'm coming up. I'm like, sure, yeah, no problem. Yeah. Boom. 5 minutes. I was like, oh, my God. Is that 5 minutes? He's like, no, we're in 2 minutes. I'm like, oh, my God.
Wow, because I've gotten spots from guest spots, usually.
I've brought you along to get guest spots.
Yeah.
Where?
Guest spot,
Clubs.
And I've gotten into my name.
Yeah, but you're bringing Joe.
Right, but I'm saying, sometimes I've brought in the city. I say, hey, take a look at this guy. Can he do 5 minutes on your show?
Yeah. And I'm saying, right, okay, but that worked.
Right.
I would say 95% of the time it did not work for me.
Wow.
Well, I think that goes to comics maybe vouching for the wrong people.
I think the only one that I really liked was he traveled with Chris Roach and who's the guy, Matt? That
hangs out
with Matt Burke. No, he wasn't the guy, though. They brought along Evan somebody's...
Weiss.
Is somebody's son, somebody's Evan favorite
Evan,
son.
Evan...
the guy who writes...
Evan Rubin.
Rock Rubin's son.
Okay. Yeah.
He did 5 minutes, and he was really... I want to say he was killer for about 4.5 minutes.
Mm.
How about this thing? That a lot of new comics are heel comics, and they don't realize they're heel comics. They're just not good enough to peel
a little... What's a heel comic?
Kind of like what I'm saying, like
Rowdy Roddy Piper. Like somebody would go up there,
making you laugh at all the shit you shouldn't laugh at. But real quick to catch you, what made me think about this? Mm-hmm. People ask me who the comics that were influenced me, and I never had an answer. But I think it might be Rowdy Piper, the professional wrestler. The other night, I'm doing a show, mm-hmm. An animal shelter fundraiser, mm-hmm, and everything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Talking to a guy, this guy says he has a disabled cat at home. Two legs can't get around. Everybody predictably awes. I fucking lash in, so I'm like, what do you want? I go, you don't know this cat. This cat could be a prick cat. Maybe it's good that he's disabled. So that's I took it that way. Like a fucking heel would do.
I gotcha.
Like, no, you're fucking wrong. You don't know. So that's what I'm saying. Like, I think a lot of new comics, maybe, I don't know if they're trying to be a heel comic, but they're heel comics, but they're just not funny. They push buttons, but they're not, they don't have the punchlines.
But I don't know if, the new generation of comics are like... they're afraid to offend,
they are.
No, I think there's that. There's those. But I also think there's the ones that want to do the dead baby jokes. And, they just don't have.
You got to know what you're doing with stuff like
it's
that.
It's hard to come out of the chute.
Because that takes years of experience.
Yeah.
Years of experience to know what to do.
Can you think of any other comics? I know I'm not the only one. But maybe Anthony Jeselnik.
Right, Jeselnik is probably one of those guys who'll go right for your throat.
I never thought he was funny.
I'm not a big fan of Anthony Jeselnik, but I can see
he's very dry.
But I never thought he was. I watched this special, and funny is funny, and there are guys that I don't like that are funny. Funny's fun, and I was watching this special. I smiled once,
but he's a heel. But he was what I would call a heel comic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think if there's anybody else that's really like that. Whether on that level or a lesser level.
How about Norton?
Lisa Lamadale?
Is Norton a heel?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I guess.
He's a little heel.
A lot of it has to do with things that have happened to him, though. So he's not really...
How about Voss?
Voss is
a heel comic.
Voss has some heel.
Did you notice that all of the comics that we're mentioning are little guys?
There's probably something
like
that.
The Napoleon complex.
There might be something to that.
You picked on me all my life. But I'm going to pick on you.
But there's also a lot of little guys that are face comics. Most of the little guys are face comics.
So. Now, what's a face comic?
You know,
baby face, like a baby face.
Well, yeah, in wrestling, that's the good guy.
Oh, okay.
Like your act, unless you're going to do a Democratic fundraiser, you're then you're the heel.
Oh, that's hysterical.
But
I'd ask Walt if he would be booking something like that, but we know he's not.
but those places where you walk in, you're going to be the face. They're going to be agreeing with your points of view, your outlook on life. They're going to be like, yeah, we did have it rougher. Yeah, things do suck now. And you know, these kids are...
but I'm starting to work where you will agree with me, or you could. Understand my point of view. The key is understand my point of view. Either you're going to agree with me or understand
because,
my,
because or, you're a face. And yeah. I saw you do this when we were in Louisville. You go, no, all right, it's me.
Yeah.
It's me. Whereas because I'm a heel, I'm going to go, no, it's fucking you.
Yeah.
The heel puts it on them. The face. That's why I said Norton's kind of a face too, because you know all the shit Norton talks about how fucked up he is. He doesn't fucked up. He doesn't talk about how fucked up you are.
Well, it depends. You know, it depends where you go. Like I do this bit now where I went to the doctor's office. It's a true story, and I get this list of all this transgender stuff and what I could be called, and I was going to goof on it in the doctor's office. I go, and it's full of millennials. They'll never get it. I go, however, I'm taking a picture of this. I'm doing this on state, and it's been working. But the preamble in that to make it work and not catch any shit is maybe I have a problem, and the world is moving too quickly for me to get.
And most people 35 and older will feel the way you feel.
Yeah, and the people that are 35 and under don't think I'm an angry white man. I'm a confused white
man. Right, and that's the...
I like to do a little lightning rod thing, but I've learned, and this is the experience comes in. I've learned the hard way and stuff like that. You have to learn how to, you know, do this. Like I said, you do Broadway. I don't know if you do Broadway. You know, you got these kids and stuff like that, and you're doing this, and you want to do... You gotta do what you gotta do, you know. And you point it out to them that maybe it's me, Bob, and you could. That opens the door to do all the stuff I do, talking about this and that and the other thing, you know. So that's the game you gotta play, you know. You have the gift where you could be nasty, but the problem is you could be nasty, but you can scold them. Okay, that's also from years of experience, and it's also your style of comedy. I can't do that.
No,
that's not my style.
Voice. Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Not. Thank you. That's the operative word. Thank you very much. That's not my voice. That's your voice.
Right.
But to do that, to get to your voice, is years of experience.
Right. And I don't
to get
think,
to that point.
I don't
you
think
know?
There's a lot of. I think Voss and Jeselnik are kind of similar to my voice. Not that we're anywhere similar, but as far as putting it on them and saying fucked up shit and not apologizing for it. Now, when I'm doing a church or something like that, I got to soften up the edges a lot. But that's a special event.
Yeah.
But when I'm going to a club, it's like, fuck you. I'm going to bring you into my world. So that's what I'm just saying. I just think like Rowdy Roddy Piper was my influence. I think I'm a heel comic at this point because I think it makes the people that dig it makes me more memorable.
I think you next show you do, you should bring bananas and coconuts and smashed
two
them in.
Clubs.
Yeah. smashed them into the front row's face.
Well, if there's a Polynesia with that's barefoot, I most certainly
Davin,
will.
You should go up there and you should call it Davin's Pit.
I should.
Yes.
But you know, if you think about it, Piper was the face because Snook is in prison for murder. So
yeah, but Piper's dead.
Right, but he's the face. He's the face. He was the good guy.
Yeah.
If we knew what Snooker was capable of.
Now.
Well.
Yeah, now.
Maybe it was the coconut shot to the head that made him a murderer.
Maybe. See, it all goes back
still,
to Piper.
It's still that thing where it's comparable, where you're creating an image or a persona, you know, and you're acting out on it, you know. And yeah, he goes up as the angry comic.
I don't know if I grow up as angry.
Yeah.
They get me there.
Yeah. Let me tell you a quick story. Darren Dillon, love Darren to death. Darren is starting to get back into it again. He's there. And the funny thing is, we're hanging out at Governor's, and I'm like, I'm so glad you're back, so I'm not the angry one anymore.
See, that's the thing. People always perceived you as angry. They don't perceive me as angry. I think that has to do with size. Because you're a bigger human being than I am.
Yeah, but you want to know something? I have something in my notes that I keep in that little bag thing I carry, I write in there, smile stupid. Because a lot of times I'll go up and I'll start ranting and raving, and it's like, yeah, I come off as angry, and it ruins the whole thing. So I've kind of adjusted that. You know, sometimes I forget, but most of the times I don't.
You'll enjoy this. So I'm working with Evan Weiss on Friday. He's on the show. So I'm sitting there talking to Rich Carucci.
I know Evan. I know of him from Facebook.
Rich and I are, you know, about as far as Walt and I.
Yeah.
Evan is a little bit further than you.
Right.
Rich and I are talking. Evan's eating a slice of pizza. Evan bites into this slice of pizza, squirts sauce all up and down my arm and my sleeve. I go to Evan. I go, go. Go. He's like, oh, I'm so sorry. He starts wiping me.
You imbecile, get off.
No, I didn't even do that. I didn't even raise my voice. I go, get in the corner. Yeah, I thought you would appreciate that story.
Yeah, I would. Yeah.
He was like, so apologetic. I go, I've never been collateral damage from pizza before. What is wrong with you?
I felt so bad one night because he came into Governors. He was producing a show at Governors. And I felt bad because he's a nice guy, you know, but we tried to help him with his act and stuff like that, you know, and he never listens to us, you know. So I goof on him about that. I'm not a bully, but I'll goof on him about that because it just angered me. But anyway, he's at Governor's one night, and I go, hey, Evan, what's going on? Hey, what's going on? I go, what brings you down here? Oh, I'm producing a show. I'm going to go to speak to Mark. And I go over everything. And he goes, hey, you want to look at the contract? And I go, yeah, well, here's the first problem. You're listing your name as the talent. It was just meant to be between him and I. The fucking bar heard it. And five comics are fucking laughing their balls off. I felt awful.
You're the heel.
I'm just being a dick. But now I'm a fucking bully. Because the boneheads at the bar are fucking laughing.
He's an insult.
I mean that.
I was going to say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lisa Lampanelli's a heel.
Yeah. She's in it. Yeah.
Well, when she was doing comedy.
Yeah.
What's she doing now?
Nothing. She's a life coach or something now. I saw a picture of her. She doesn't look like her. She doesn't look like Lisa Lampanelli.
Well, yeah. She lost a lot of weight, right?
She looks like a bad guy in a Mad Max movie.
God. Yeah, she's got her hair all short now and
stuff,
right? All cropped.
Like half of her head is shaved.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, whatever.
Think about persona.
You stop the black cock, and I guess that's what happens to you.
Yeah, now think about her persona. Now, for the people that don't know her, she goes on stage with that look, like tough look, and then she lost all that weight. She can't really do that shit and get away with it.
Yeah, no, she can because they know who she is.
You didn't hear me. You didn't hear me, pal. If you did not know her.
Not going off a legacy,
but just you did not know her.
I don't know. I mean, it's hard to do the act that she used to do. She was very good at it. The Don Rickles type of act.
That's right.
Don Rickles was a heel comic.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So I'm just giving examples for the folks. There's not a lot of them.
Yeah.
It's going to dwindle because that kind of comedy, hopefully it doesn't dwindle, but a lot of the younger guys that are coming
they're
going
to be afraid to say anything.
It's not the younger guys' fault. It's the clubs. I walk into these clubs, and I've talked about them there, and they're like, oh, don't do politics or don't do this. It doesn't work. And I just go, I know what I'm doing. It'll work. But they're scaring a lot of comics.
Right. Now, as a club owner, you know, or a booker, have you put those restrictions? They never did on us because you knew us and you knew our acts. But, you know.
The only time was when Tom and Jen, I asked them to book Davin,
mm-hmm.
and he booked them, and I guess the place told him, don't do political humor. That was it. That was the only time.
Yeah.
That anybody who was associated with me ever had a restriction.
Now, the place, the venue?
The theater.
It was a theater.
The Westchester Theater?
Yeah. Oh, Westchester Theater. Okay, I've done that.
They just didn't want any political humor.
Okay.
So then, Roddy Piper went out there and did political humor.
Maybe a little bit, but I got the report was good, right?
The report was good, but how many times have you worked for Tom and Jenny after that?
I wasn't working for him a lot anyway.
Zero.
Is that why?
I probably think that had something to do with it.
I don't know. I did that. I did my act. You know,
To have those restrictions on a theater.
You know what? Yeah. I did have somebody. I had. I don't know. You know what? I think it was. It was. And it was somebody was in the audience with cancer or something like mm-hmm. that, and somebody just they just said if they can't do just don't bring up cancer.
Oh, that's different.
Yeah, that was it. That was the
well, that's a special circumstance,
that's almost like it's almost like if you're doing a benefit show, like when we do the governor's shows and we have the fundraisers out there, we'll always ask the MC or the thing, what's the fundraisers tonight and stuff like that. Just we don't want to restrict it, but just in case.
But again, I think even that comes down to depends on who's doing it. Because a comic could go up there who might have really funny cancer jokes, and they'll love it.
Yeah.
It really depends on the craftsman.
Depends, right. Yeah, that's.
There was another time where there was a comic that the headliner asked him not to do any crowd work.
Mm-hmm.
And then the comic went out.
No, he did not ask me. He did not ask me. He fucking. He could have.
Did I say you? I didn't bring up your name.
No, I talked about this.
I didn't bring up your name.
Can we stop for a second? Can we?
I made him my bitch.
I'm going to go out on a limb. Because you bring some guy out in our community. I got a funny feeling I just got to turn this way here.
Yeah, it was like, I'm fucking drinking with this guy in Walt. The guy doesn't have the fucking balls to have a conversation with me. Instead, I got to get a text message from Walt later on that night.
Oh, I get a funny that was not a Walt's club, it was the other club.
Yeah, the other club.
I know the story.
I made that guy my bitch.
Even got involved in that was
that
beyond
guy,
me.
He told me this story. It's not even your club, and you're in the middle of
because the guy's a bitch. Because the guy's a bitch.
With both of them. And
he was being a bitch. We were drinking beers. He could have had the conversation.
Just in case he's listening to this.
Fuck him.
Paul, I'm not your bitch.
But you were that night.
I'm not Davin's bitch.
You were his bitch. Oh, he doesn't want you to have... Fuck him.
Look, I know it is. He's always been good. But he could have grabbed you and said, hey, man.
We were drinking beers.
He did the next day.
Yeah,
he told him not to do it, and Rowdy Roddy Piper went on the stage and did it again.
No. Here's what happened. Here's what happened.
I
had the conversation with the manager because she saw us going at it and everything. Yeah. I wasn't going to back down to him, and I'm having the conversation with the manager who I adore. No, I love her, and she goes, it just puts me in a tough spot. And I go, okay, fine. I go for you, and that's what I did. And I just did, boom. I did 30 minutes. Of just straight material, and that's my video now. And I got off stage. She goes, "I love you," but I was so much in his head that he's asking the audience, "Oh, did the other comic ask you that?" And I didn't fucking talk to them at all because I was in his head. And I didn't even do that much crowd work on that Friday show.
But you know what? A headliner, especially a headliner of that stature, he's got to go on after everybody.
Absolutely.
I don't care.
Have you ever seen me ask a comic, "Please don't do that"?
No.
No, because no matter what's in front of me, if I'm the guy going after you, I'm supposed to be the better comic.
Yeah.
I got to figure it out.
If I follow guys.
The plus here is we're an hour and 51 minutes into the show. Well, no, an hour and 21 minutes into the show. And we haven't even hit the topics yet that we were supposed to talk about.
That's a good talk show. Good talk show.
But no, you will admit, he was a bitch.
I'm not admitting that.
Really? You don't think he should have had a manly conversation while we're drinking beers?
Maybe he should have said that, yes.
That's
while
what I'm
we were
saying.
Having the beers. Maybe he could have said something.
Once he went through
hey,
you.
Do me a favor.
Well,
exactly.
That's it. That's
then
it.
We can have a conversation. Then I'm probably thinking this guy's a bitch, but I might do it because at least he's being a man
just
ask, and asking me.
Just asking takes the sting off a situation. Forget comedy. Going into music. My band is playing last month, and we just took a quick band shot and stuff like that. And I look over, and there's this guy breaking down my keyboards, touching my keyboards. I'm like, who are you? What are you doing? We got to get this stuff off stage. I go, I'll break it down. Okay? I've been a roadie. I was a roadie for 10 years. I was a musician for 30. He goes, yeah, and I work for Bruno Mars. And I go, you're going to wind up there if you fucking lay your hand on my stuff. And I get a little heated there, And my whole thing is if he came up and asked me, I got to get the stuff, can I give you a hand breaking down your
key? It's different.
Totally different. If you ask and say, look, we're all doing a show. Regardless if it's the club, comedy club, or the rock club. We're all doing a show. If you ask, it makes it a lot easier. And a lot cooler, especially, I've been a musician for 30 years. I've been a comic for 23. Yeah, we're professional. We can ask. We're all professionals here.
That weekend, I wound up getting a private that he did not fucking get because they liked me better. But he's the big fucking name, big Emmy Award winner. He's my fucking bitch that weekend. And I would tell him that just because of the way he acted.
All right.
Just because of the way he didn't have to act that way. You know me. When I'm hosting, I tailor my act. I'm not trying to blow anybody off the stage. I'm just doing me.
Right.
All right. Let's take our first break, unless there's anything you want to say quick.
No, not for anything. No, this was a very good conversation.
On the break, we got new music from Jim Pipkin with his song Primitive Mind. And you can learn more about Jim at deucemusic.com. Come back, got a whole bunch of stories for you. Don't go anywhere.
What a world we made, so hard and so confusing. I just want to hide myself away. Seems like we have to trade what we want for what we're using. The choices get heavier every day. It's so unkind. It's a primitive mind. Mind that gets our bodies through the day. Sad but real, all the things we don't feel, emotions we don't let get in our way. Into the business world, you throw your hardest hardline. They're not giving those deals away. Every eye is cold, every word's a landmine. If you don't play rough, you don't play. It's so unkind. It's a primitive mind. Mind that gets our bodies through the day. Sad but real, all the things we don't feel, emotions we don't let get in our way. I got my TV on, but I just watch the faces. I don't want to hear one thing they say. I cut the volume down, smoke flies over foreign places, while I decide which clothes I'll wear today. It's so unkind, it's my primitive mind, the mind that gets my body through the day. Sad but real, all the things I don't feel, emotions I don't let get in my way. So unkind, it's a primitive mind, the mind that gets our bodies through the day. Sad but real, all the things we don't feel, emotions we don't let get.